Now, I know when you saw the title, R-E-S-P-C-T, you thought I was going to do that up here, that dance. I'm not going to do that. You know, I know you were looking forward to it, but, you know, I've been doing this series on family issues for a few weeks, and I figured we picked on the kids, and we picked on parents, and we picked on married couples. So this morning we're going to talk about a topic that affects everyone, and it's the issue of respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means. You know, we live in a society that is full of rudeness, just disrespect for everyone. You know that on a world scale, Americans, even more than the French, are considered to be the most rude and crude in the whole world, more than the French. We are notorious worldwide for being rude. Now, as we try to figure out how to live our lives, we need to come to grips with what the Bible teaches about respect, because, you know, we've just kind of lost that in our society. Now, let me give you some examples of disrespect. I visit a lot of hospitals. Now, especially in the big cities, I will find that I'm coming downstairs and the door will open into the lobby, and it never fails. There'll be a tremendous group of people standing there trying to crowd in the elevator all at once, not caring that there are people on the elevator that need to get out. They will fall all over you trying to get in before you can get out. That's disrespectful. You know, I've been crammed into the back of an elevator with people scrambling to push their buttons, and I'm saying, out please, out please, out please. You know, they're not going anywhere, trust me, until I get out of that elevator. You know, a second thing that makes me crazy is a person at the store has their cart filled to overflowing, and they are standing in the 10 items or less line. That's rude. That's just disrespectful. Or you're sitting at a light in town, and you think that something has gone terribly wrong with the engine in your car because your car is shaking, and you come to realize that the car behind you has their base turned up so high that your rear view mirror keeps slipping down, and you have to keep readjusting it. That's rude. That's disrespectful. Or you've waited patiently in a parking lot for someone to back out of the parking spot, and then someone comes around from the other side and slips in right in front of you. I have seen sweet little old ladies do that. That's rude. Disrespect is everywhere. You know, I went to the shoe store in Pottsville last week, and there was a grandmother buying a pair of shoes for her very young grandson. He was yelling at her, being generally mean to her. Doreen, this was your mother that was at the store. He was trying to grab shoes out of your mother's hand. Anyway, I said to the little boy who's yelling at his grandmother, listen, young man, you should never, never talk to your elders that way. And the grandmother turns to the little boy. He's a little boy. And she says, see, I told you, as if she was the child. And he was quiet until he started to demand to be taken to McDonald's. You know, Friday and Saturday, John and I went to this big Focus on the Family seminar. It was a big regional deal, Covenant Fellowship Church. It was, oh my, you know, like the gift shop and the bookstore and the coffee shop and the narthex of the church. It was, anyway, there were famous people there. At the beginning, there was a famous guy, the guy you see on TV. He's up there praying. And John and I were on the aisle because John needs the aisle because he has to put his legs out in the aisle. And we are holding hands with our heads bowed. We are agreeing in prayer with this man. And a young man came and stood next to us and interrupted a prayer and said, excuse me, I want to get by. We were agreeing in prayer. We hardly heard the man because we were agreeing in prayer. We kind of startled. We both kind of backed up. And the guy walked in front of us. And I thought, oh, well, now there's an object lesson for Sunday. And he sat next to me. And I looked at him. And he didn't even agree in prayer. He just started looking through his book. He was not praying. You know what we should have done? We should have just kept our heads bowed, held our finger up, and made him stay there because it was a lesson for teaching that we missed. We miss those lessons for teaching sometimes. We need to step up to the plate. Disrespect is everywhere. Now, here's the thing. Rudeness is a lack of respect for people. That's what it is. It's a lack of respect. And when we are doing some of these things that I've talked about, we're saying, I only care about myself. Yeah, it's all about me. You know, I'm the most important thing in the universe, and you just need to get good with that. But the Apostle Paul slaps us in the face with a little verse that the Holy Spirit gave him. And it's a verse that is not a teaching, it's a command. And I read it, and he said, show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. Not just the people who are nice to you, but the people who are nasty to you, too. Show proper respect. And he's talking to Christians here. So the command is, learn how to respect the people that are around us. Everyone. Doesn't matter what their religion is or their politics or what their race is. We are to show, as Christian people, because we are Christians, we are to show respect for everyone. In the Epistle of Philippians 2, you can find it on page 182 in your pew Bible, but you don't need to. I'll be reading it. We have the ingredients of how to regain respect in our family life, in our community life, and in our society. We need to figure out how to be more respectful, and this gives us a hint. And Paul was writing to a church that was a mess in this passage. They were fractured, and he was in prison, but he got word, and he wrote back to the congregation. And he says to them, you know what, you need to be unified, because they were a mess. They were falling apart. If you have disrespect, divisiveness always follows. So at the end of this sermon this morning, my prayer is that all of us are going to work harder at being more respectful to the people around us. Now here's what the Apostle Paul said as the Spirit led him in Philippians 2 and following. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So there Paul has it. He has it laid out. Now, in most translations, but not ours, because we have RSV. Actually, I use NIV, so it probably didn't match perfectly. But in other translation, what follows that passage is written kind of like a poem. And it's what scholars believe was a hymn. That actually Christians used to sing that during our worship service, during their worship services. Now, I'm not going to ask you to sing it this morning. But I want you to pay close attention as I read it, because it's the heart of our faith. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we are ever going to recapture respect in our culture, it's going to have to begin in the home. No matter if it's a child or a youth or an adult, they learn disrespect somewhere. And most probably it's in the home. Think about it. If children in the home see dad disrespect mom, well, guess what they're going to do? You know, they're going to be disrespectful of mom as well. And if they're boys, they will probably go out into life and be disrespectful of women in general. And if they are girls, they will probably go out into life believing they are not worth much and could possibly even marry an abuser. We've seen that happen. And if children are disrespectful to the authority of their parents, guess what? They're going to go out into the world, and they're going to be disrespectful of their teachers and of their Sunday school workers and of their bosses and even of the laws of the land. Disrespect begins at home. So moms and dads, we need to get back and we need to recover this issue of respect. We need to teach respect and we need to practice respect. And we need to, if we don't, we're just not going to see our kids develop as they should. You know, there are so many issues that reflect this lack of respect in our culture, but I have to share this one because I'm loving this. It happened at Schuylkill Haven High School before the year was over. And a young man came to school at Schuylkill Haven. A pastor friend of mine subbed there, and this happened when he was there. He was at the accountability meeting and shared this story. He came to school at Schuylkill Haven High School. He had on very stylish jeans. They were very holy. You know how the stylists have all the holes in them? Well, here's the thing. He didn't have on any underpants. And he sat there in class just kind of letting it all hang out. And the teacher sent him to the office. This really happened in the summer, right before school left out in Schuylkill Haven. He was sent home. He put on boxers, but he came back with not a whole heck of a lot more covered. And he was irate. How dare this teacher make him go home to put on underpants? Now get this. His mother was also irate. She said her son was very comfortable with his body. And she was appalled that the teacher had such a phobia about the male anatomy. The mother and the student said that if she was so offended, she just didn't have to look. Have you ever tried that, not looking? Why is it that the eyes keep going there, you know? Can you think of more blatant disrespect for authority? Now, you can read the papers, you can find out all kinds of. I just thought that one was particularly entertaining and it was so close to home. We have a crisis of disrespect in our culture, and I'm not just picking on young people. I'm not just picking on that high school kid. It is rampant in our culture no matter how old you are. Now, in verse 1 through 4 in Philippians, Paul is kind of summing up some things. And then in verse 5, he jumps to an example of what it is he's talking about. In verse 1 through 4, there are four clues that Paul gives us how we can live lives of respect. Lives of respect that are so desperately needed in our culture. And the first one is in verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. Do you know, Paul loved this Philippians church. This one was very special to him. And he cared about what it was that was happening in that church. And he was saying something about that church that really applies to us. You see, if someone is feeling bad around us, we feel bad, don't we, when we know someone who's feeling bad. And if somebody is really feeling good, it's contagious and we feel good with them. But respect here comes out of what Paul is saying, be like-minded, having the same love. Is there any family out there that wouldn't like to have more love in their homes? I mean, you know, we all would like to have more love in our homes. And respect begins by having this like-minded respect for others. Now, the next part of verse 2 says, being one in spirit and purpose. Because when we move together, you see, we can accomplish more than when we're alone. So we're like-minded, being one in spirit, respecting each other. There is something spiritually powerful about coming together in unity of purpose that allows us to accomplish great things for God that we cannot accomplish alone. If you want a case for church, that's one. In verse 3, he gives us another clue. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. You know, Paul reminds us that a respectful person is going to humbly consider others more than themselves. We live in a world that doesn't value humility. We don't even really know much about it in our culture. You know, we live in a world that worships selfishness. Have you ever considered how many words we use about self that refer to ourselves, things that we want? We talk about being self-absorbed, self-indulgent, self-gratification, self-glorification, self-pity, self-importance, self-interest, self-involved. I could go on and on. The self-help section in the bookstore is the biggest one. If you want to study something on humility and humble living, you have to go to a Christian bookstore. And even if you go to a Christian bookstore, it's going to be the smallest shelf. Paul is saying we need to get over ourselves. We need to get over this self-absorption that we have. And we need to consider others better than ourselves. Now, that's a popular message, isn't it? In verse 4, he gives us one last clue, and he says, each of you should look not to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. What Paul is trying to say is, you know, we need to think about other people, how things affect other people. You know, not that we don't have to think about ourselves at all. We do that on our own. That's a natural tendency. We do that quite well. But Paul is trying to lift us to a higher place and higher understanding of what God expects of his people. He's saying we need to respect one another. We need to have the interest of others at heart. And there are some life lessons that we can learn from this. Look at the example Paul gives us in verse 5. He says, we need to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Whoa, I'm setting the bar pretty high. He is saying that we need to be a people who get where Jesus was and do what Jesus did. You know, Jesus across the board was pretty respectful of sinners, you know, other people. But it's also interesting to note, you know, that other people were very respectful of him. Even those who didn't like him were respectful of him. Even those people that wanted to destroy him, he had earned their respect. Because he seemed to always be kind. And this attitude of kindness was a key. You know, I am the best at this in the sanctuary this morning. I am always sticking my foot in my mouth. I mean, like, it's what I do. I might as well just leave it there. Because I am constantly sticking my foot in my mouth. But what gives me some solace in that is that it is never with malice aforethought.